Thank you for the gift. All right. Doesn't that feel good?
Yeah.
Isn't there power in that? Just look at the smiles around you. People just smiling, and there's power in things. There's power. And don't forget, I got to preach tonight. I know there's power, but I still want to preach today, okay? All right. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the message.
That could be it, couldn't it? How many would thank me if that was it? Yeah. But it's just, you know, this is November, and I just wanted to start off with the power of thank you. I don't think we do that enough, do you? We were talking a little bit about that in our prayer meeting this morning about, isn't it nice when your kids or grandkids or a friend or someone comes up and just looks at you and says, thank you for just being you. Isn't that nice when somebody does that for you? I mean, he says, it's been a long time since somebody did that for me, you know. But isn't it powerful when somebody gives you a sincere thank you? A sincere thank you. And I think the Lord loves a heart of gratitude. And in fact, we'll look at some things this morning about the power of thank you. And I want to say thank you to all the faithful people of Prayer of Faith that have come. And I look around, I see people that's been here for years and years. And thank you for your faithfulness. And I see new people, and I say thank you for joining our ranks and saying that, you know what, I want to be in a church where I can make a difference in my community. And I want to join up with other people that are laboring in the kingdom of God. The laborers, you know, this is not a new problem. The laborers are few. How many knows that Jesus once said that? So for all you that labor and wonder where all the other laborers are, it's not a new problem. It's an old problem. But here's the thing, to labor with a grateful heart. With a grateful heart. Appreciate you doing that. Everybody got your Bible today? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. Jesus' name. Psalms 100. How many rememberize this when you was a kid? Psalm 100. Isn't that a good verse? I love this verse. Is that your favorite verse? All right, well, thank you. Psalm 100. How many memorized this in Bible school when you was little? You know, that was one of John 3:16 and Psalm 100, right? Those two were great scriptures. And we hear things on the news media about, how many's heard that we're really in a bad way in America? How many's changed your eating habits at all? Have you? Because of the economy. Have you? I still eat about the same thing. I still go about the same places. I still golf. Still ride bikes. You know, whatever I want to do for fun. How many know, and we talked about this in our starting point class this morning with a few of our people that are coming in. How many knows God's economy? He said, when you give to the kingdom, rust, moth, and corruption cannot come. How many knows your heavenly 401k is secure?
That's the Lord.
So we hear all this bad news. In fact, I saw, how many knows who Alec Baldwin is? You know, the actor, great actor, you know. His brother Stephen received Christ, and so he's a good Christian, you know, and he's trying to win Alec to the Lord. And he was talking about him a little bit, but he said something I thought was pretty accurate. He said, I don't believe anything the news media says. Now this is a guy that's in the know, you know. I don't believe anything the news media says. And if you're watching the political race, I want to tell you, you don't need to believe anything the news media says. Here's what I know. God raises up governments and He takes them down. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. So all you people stressing about the government, the presidential race, just say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Just thank God. He knows. He's not wringing his hands saying, oh, I hope McCain don't get in there. Oh, I hope Obama don't get... He's not up there doing that. He's got everything under control. And so you just pray, thy will be done in the White House. You know, be faithful to do your part and then say, thank you, Lord. Go out and vote. Go out this Tuesday. I know they're saying, the media say, oh, it's going to be terrible. I don't even know if we can handle all the crowds. Take your book and say, thank you, Lord. I'm here to do my duty. Thank you, Lord. Just read, you know, whatever you got to do. But don't stress. Thank you, Lord. Just say, thank you, Lord. He's got all this under control. I had a bad day yesterday. Well, thank you, Lord. Today's going to be better. I had more month than I had money last week. Well, I'm going to strive to have more this week. Next month, you know. Thank you, Lord. It'll help you. It'll put a smile on your face. How many knows your little computer's going to think something? And if we can get ourselves to say, thank you, Lord, for what we have, then it's just going to it's going to help us. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make. Everybody say make.
Make.
How many knows a joyful noise just doesn't happen? You got to make it. Make a joyful noise. If you're going to blow your trumpet, it takes some wind, doesn't it? If you're going to play the guitar, all of our musicians this morning took effort, didn't it? They come up early and they practiced and then they came up and used their talent. They made a joyful noise. You know, it didn't just happen. You can't just expect a joyful noise to jump on you. Get up and make. It says, make a joyful shout or joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Everybody. Everybody. How many just says, I like to be around happy, thankful people? How many says, and I really enjoy grumpy, complaining people? See, we don't, do we? In fact, thankful people are contagious. Here's your test right here, right off the bat. I want you to do this. Just think of the people hanging around you. Are they thankful people? Are they complaining people? And then here's the sad part. You drew them to you.
That's right.
How many says, bless my heart? Come on now. I'm asking you, how many, you know, you think about your people around you, the people in your sphere of influence. Are they complaining people? Are they thankful people? And just remember, you attract who you are. That is a scary thought, isn't it? How many says, you know, I might need to be a little more thankful than I am. You know what I'm saying? Just think of the people that's around Jesus. Were they happy? Now, he had some enemies that didn't want the gospel to be accomplished, but people around him were happy, weren't they? Did you hear what Jesus did? He's healing people. You need something? Come with me. He will heal you. I mean, they're happy. They're expectant. And then Jesus was, he was always thankful for what was going on. So just as a quick quiz, who's hanging in your circles and are they thankful people? Are they, how many's thankful for gas prices right now? Well, you shout more about gas than you do about Jesus. The Holy Spirit just failed, didn't it? But what does the news media say? Oh, gas is down. It's terrible because when gas is down, that's when the economy's bad. I like it every time I pump. Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I saw gas for $1.93 today on the way to work. $1.93. Do you ever think you say, wow, or $1.93? How many knows God can put us in a position where we will be thankful? See? When gas is 50 cents, we never thought we'd be thankful for $1.93, right? But he can bump it on up there to about $5 or $6, and we get up in the morning and say, ooh, gas, $1.93. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? He can do that in all areas of our life. You're not thanking God where you are right now? Just hang on. He can make it worse if you need to. Or you can say, I thank you right where I am today. See, I'm telling you, church, there's something powerful about thanking God for this day. You know, look down. Everybody got shoes on this morning? Look at your shoes and say, thank you, Jesus. So I sure like my shoes. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, go ahead. Just thank Him right now. Yeah. See? You got clothes on? Thank you, Jesus. The way most of us look, thank you, Jesus. They got clothes on this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Let me eat breakfast this morning, you know. Or could have if you'd wanted to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There are some countries with people, they didn't have a choice to eat breakfast this morning. You probably will go out after church and have lunch. Some places, if they get one meal a day or a little soup bowl, you know, we help with Life Outreach International, and they have their little ration of beans, about 400,000 kids. They got a little ration of, and I've tasted it. It's pretty good, but I wouldn't want that every day. But that's what some of them get every day. And they say, thank you, Lord. It's life-sustaining, it's nutritional, and that's what we're getting. And so, thank you, Jesus. And that's why we went from like 300 to 375 to 400,000 kids, is because, you know, they're thankful for what they get. In America, there's a study done and said 30%, and this was before the stock market fall and before gas was high as it is, 30% of the people only are consider themselves very happy. Isn't that something? When you live in a land like ours and 30%, only 30% consider themselves very happy? That's terrible, isn't it? Let me just do a survey. How many would consider yourself in this room very happy? Let me see your hands. That's a lot more than 30%. That's almost 100%. And for all you that couldn't raise your hand, we wish you well. Just start saying, thank you, Lord. And you'll be up there you can raise your hand next Sunday with us. Just get up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Instead of get up in the morning and saying, well, good Lord, this morning, say, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. You know, just change the attitude a little bit, and you can raise your hand with us. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. So there's effort in there, isn't there? Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. serve the Lord with gladness. Just reminds me of my friend I've been witnessing to. He's out of fellowship, and he loves God, but he's just out of fellowship right now. He said his grumpy old neighbor invited him to revival. You want to go to revival? It's a good one out here. Boy, he just acts mad. I mean, no, that's not the best witness you can put on, you know. And then some of you, not much better when you're trying to project Jesus. Well, what's wrong with you? Why don't you want to be like me? And then it's kind of like, well, it's pretty obvious why I don't want to be like you. Because you're not thankful about anything. You know? So serve the Lord with gladness. No, He's given us a day. He's given us breath to breathe and sun to enjoy. And He's given us everything we need. And then we want to stress about what we don't have. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that was in me. Bless His holy name. How many remembers He gave His only Son for you and for me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Then He's given us health that we sometimes take for granted. You know, thank you, Lord, for my health today. Most of us walk in here under our own power. Thank you, Lord. Come before His presence with singing. I like to sing. How many likes to sing? How many wish you could sing? Sing. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Here's what God does. For you that can't carry a tune, here's what God does. Just sing, because before it gets up to His ears, there's a spiritual filter. And when it goes to that filter, it sounds like Haley or one of those that can kiss you or somebody can really sing. So that's what we hear. But see, when He filters it, He just loves it when it gets to Him. So go ahead and sing. Say, thank you, Lord, for the filter. Come before His presence with singing. And here's the key, church. Know, everybody say no. Know that the Lord, He is God. See, sometimes we don't know that. If you're stressing about the election, you don't know who God is. If you're stressing about the economy, you don't know who God is. My God shall supply all my needs according to the economy, according to the stock market, according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I mean, notice He's got plenty. Look over at your neighbor and say, God's got plenty if you're worried. He's got plenty. Thank you, Lord. say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So, listen, church, it's really important that we know He is God.
Yes.
He is God.
Yes.
I have to know right now in areas of my life that He's God. He's God. He'll take care of it. He's God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. How many knows you're not an accident and you're not junk? What is it? Susie, remember her message she preached to us the other day? She got a lot of compliments on that. We'll just have to let her get up and preach sometime. Of course, women, you know the problem with women, they preach too long.
No.
I'm just messing with them. Yeah. No, but this is what she was saying. You're not an accident, and God created you, and people have told you you're junk. You're not. You're fearfully, wonderfully made in the image of God. And He's got plan and purpose for you. And then we can say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. How many knows if you got sheep, you take care of them, if that's what you do. And if a wolf comes or somebody comes to take one of your sheep, they're going to answer to you, right? You're a good shepherd. How many knows we got a good shepherd?
Yes.
And so we can say, thank you, Lord. I'm your sheep. And nobody or nothing can come my way and harm me unless it has come through you first or I give it permission. Are you with me? And if He gives it permission, you can rebuke it, you can bind it, you can whatever you want to do to it. And if He says, this is your time and this is your trial or this is your thing, you might as well say, thank you, Lord, for strength to go through. And He'll give you strength to go through.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know what you're facing today, but your shepherd knows. And you can say, thank you, Lord. You know. And that's amazing. How many knows that? I used to have a friend. He said, now here's the mainest thing. How many knows that's the mainest thing? Is if you know Jesus is your Lord and your shepherd. He'll take care of you. And then He says something else. You know what? This joyful thing is not, it's not just a gimme. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. What did you come in today with? Thanksgiving? Come in with stress? Come in with grumpy? You know, be careful. Huh?
He came in first.
You're funny today, aren't you? A funny praiser, that's what you are. You're a hoot, that's what you are. If you didn't watch that weird show, you know what that means. And into His courts with what?
Praise.
Thanksgiving and praise. Have you ever tried to be grumpy while you're giving thanksgiving and praise? Just try it real quick. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Doesn't that seem strange? Isn't that odd? You know, you just can't do that, can you? Last night we went out with... It was our privilege to sit with our granddaughter last night while Michael and Summer went out for their anniversary And we took her. I had to go pick up a bike down at Shawnee, and so we ate there at the Cracker Barrel. And she's, you know, they call her at their nursery. They call her Addie, and they said sometimes she gets an attitude. Now you should be saying amen. There, that's my granddaughter. Okay, amen. She does that. So we're sitting there, and I'm talking about, you know, how many knows we got to train them, because we're losing a generation that don't know how to be thankful.
Amen.
And so we're sitting there, and they brought her three little colors, and she distributed to each one of us a color, to me and her nanny and myself, and she said, color. So we're all coloring on this little paper. Then she would say, okay, trade. And then she would all trade colors. And so she had done something really cute. She came up, a friend of mine was over at my house yesterday. We was riding bikes, and one of their bikes started missing and things and dying. And so they finally got to my house, and she came up with some Play-Doh, and she said, Papa, will you make me a key? I said, I don't know how to make a key. And so Mike, my friend, he said, I'll give it to me, I'll make a key. And he just did this, and his long glob of nothing. And he said, here's a key. She said, thank you. And she went over to my lawnmower and started trying to stick it in the keyhole. That's how creative, you know. She was thankful, but I mean, so some of us are thankful for the wrong thing. So it started with that, and then Jana says, while we're sitting there, we're colored, she said, "That was so cute," and we was laughing about her trying to stick that Play-Doh in the, and she said, "Just color, don't talk." I mean, in that tone, that's who we're raising. And I said, "Addie, if you don't get a better attitude, we're not going to go get Little Mermaid and watch it." We told her we'd go get you Little Mermaid and we'll go home and watch it. And at first she was like, "Yeah." And her lip rolled out. Some of you just like her, you're just bigger. Bigger things and bigger issues. So her little lip rolled out, and Nanny says to her, "Listen, this is how God treats us." She said, "Remember when Papa gave you a whooping?" We call them whoopings where I came from. "Remember when Papa gave you a whooping when we were putting the pool together this summer?" Actually, I gave her two. And so she started having flashbacks, and you could see her. And all of a sudden, and I'm not teasing, this is what she did. She says, "If you don't get a smile on your face, Papa's going to get you, and you won't get up." And she goes, boom. Attitude gone. Yeah. Listen, you know what? This is all he's doing. He's reminding us, you know what, kids? I want you to make a joyful noise. That's your responsibility. And if you don't, how many knows our Heavenly Father will give you a whooping? I mean, He will. And if He don't, you'll give yourself one. Life will give you one. He said, He didn't say, "If you feel like it, make a joyful noise." He said, "Make it. Make it. Come into His presence with thanksgiving." You know, enter His presence, into His courts with praise. And then He says, and here's the key, be thankful. Man, that is such a, it's just too simple. And I can't preach it in words, but be thankful. There's just power in being thankful, because if we're not, we're the opposite of thankful. And that is just, here's what I believe. I believe we look in life through two sets of lenses. One is through a lens of gratitude. And that's what we should look through life. We should look through a lens of gratitude. Man, just think of all that Christ has done for us, what God has done for us, what God has given us as Americans even. You know, when we use the word Americans, well, we're Americans. If you go to other parts of the world and you say, "I'm an American," they'll say, "Which one?" I never forget the first time somebody asked me that when we was out on a vacation. I think it was Cancun or somewhere. And they're like, "We're from America. We think we're the only Americans on the planet." I mean, there's North America, there's South America, and we're all Americans. But we're so, we look through our lens through entitlement. That's the other lens we can look through. And that's how we look, a lot of us as Americans. We look through the lens of entitlement. "You owe me. I'm an American. I'll do whatever I want." And I thought that was a pretty good, and I said, "Well, we're from the United States of America." Just kind of put things in perspective for me about, you know, you're on a world with a lot of other people, Mr. America. And to be thankful that we grow up with, and not through the lens of an entitlement. Let me give you another quiz. You want another quiz? Here's the lens of entitlement. How many, whenever you go up to you're on an interstate and you're going down the interstate and all of a sudden it says left lane closed 2 miles. How many speed up? Okay, some of us do. For you that didn't know, some of us do. Now, why do we speed up? Because we want to just get up there and get out of people's way, right? How many, when you see the left lane closed 1 mile, you get over as quickly as you can? You compliant people make me sick. Okay, and I appreciate you all. And if the world was like you all, the ones that just raised your hand, this would be a better place to live. Unfortunately, there's people like me and Bob you have to deal with. Here's the best thing you can do is pray that we'll get saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Daily. But this we live in America and we live in a land of entitlement. And here's what happens. We'll crouch up there in our, and we'll make a simple situation hard because we're entitled. How many when you're crowding up, you're like me and Bob, and you're crowding up the line, you say, I've got a lot to do today. Yeah. Like everybody else doesn't have much to do. But I do. So here we go. And then we put our blinker on. And here goes the game. No? How about you? Can you be pushed? See, that's simple, I know, but that's entitlement, isn't it? People, we get in a mode. Last night, I came home and Shawnee went down. We got my bike and went to dinner. Was coming home 45 minutes or longer to get from Shawnee to Oklahoma City because it went down to one lane. Were you there in that traffic? Yeah. That's awful, wasn't it? I'm on my bike, just barely moving, you know. And if you're on a bike, you don't want to barely move. You want to roll because it's like this, you know. So finally, I look over. I'm a leader, and the leader does what a leader does. Finally, there's a guy in a van. I'm like, hey! Yeah. So he rolls his window. I said, stay right beside me, and I'll let you in when we get up there, and we'll stop all this nonsense. He said, okay. He was a compliant person like you. So about two cars, he put them behind me. What are you doing? Yeah, he couldn't. So anyway, a big truck did. Big guy, the diesel followed, and we did that. But that's just a simple thing of letting you know where we are. We feel like we're entitled. How many's ever been in this? Here's you another test. You ready? How many's failing so far? Everybody's not compliant. How many's ever been in a grocery store? There's somebody with a big basket in front of you, and you got one or two items, and you're thinking, I hope they see me, and I hope they will let me in front of them. Just us few? Really? You never think that? Come on, everybody has thought that once. Wow. Now let me show you something about how ungrateful of a wretches we are. I never thought about this until I was studying this message. And if somebody has a huge basket full of stuff, and I've got one or two items, and I'm thinking, man, I hope they see me. I've had people do that for me. Oh, you just got one or two items. Have you ever had that happen to you? Did you go on up front? Did anybody not go up front? Okay. We're failing miserably today. Thank you, Lord. But we're going to take it and we're going to learn, right? And so you're hoping, and I've had people do that, and I did the same thing. I went right on up to the line and checked out. And said, oh, thank you. I'm so busy, you know. Isn't that terrible? That's terrible, isn't it? You think about it. Here's what I want. I want to give us a challenge, and here's what I like our church to do. Now you have to be anointed to do this. Here's what I want you to do. Next time you see somebody in the line, and they're behind you, and you've got a few items, and they got a big basket or two. You know where I'm going, right? I want you to look at them, and I want you to say, you come ahead and push, and you check out, because I only have a few things to handle. You've got all this to handle when you get to your car, and when you get the car from your house, you've got a lot more work than I do. You go ahead of me. Wow. You're right behind me, are you? Isn't that sad that that's funny? They're so funny. There's a spirit of comedy right in here. Just, they're thankful people and they can't help it. They're having fun. They're right behind me. They're right behind. Isn't that awful though? To know that that's funny to us, that we would even consider doing it. It means ever consider doing it. I had never considered doing that. And then I read in here where he says, prefer your brother, and I see him with the load, and it never occurs to me that I should let him go ahead of me because he's got so much more stuff to unload and load than I do. It's amazing that I never thought of that. And what kind of a society we have created that says, it's about me. Thank you, Lord. It's about me. Thank you. And then maybe we could go the extra mile. How many knows there's never a traffic jam on the extra mile? Then we could go the extra mile and say, you know what? As soon as I check my couple of items out, if you want me to, I'll come help you load all your stuff in your car. Here's what I'll commit to doing. I'll ask the Holy Spirit today, next time that you want me to do that, just bring this message to my remembrance and say, look behind you, Holy Spirit. And I'll look behind me and I'll say, thank you, Lord. That's probably the way it'll sound, but I'll say it. Because how many knows it's not about how you feel at first, it's about what you say. If you can get it out of your mouth, it can come to pass. So I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. And then I'm going to try to persuade them. I'll just make that commitment today. And then I'll try to persuade them to go ahead of me. I'll do it once. I'll see how it goes. But I'll report back. How many just join me in that? Say, if the Holy Spirit will tell me, we're going to have some testimonies. I guarantee you we'll have some over that. Because I never even thought of that. That never dawned on me. And I thought, man, what ungrateful people we are. What wretches we are. We're supposed to be the church, the shining light of Jesus Christ. And never to think of that. Forgive me, Lord. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. I mean, it didn't say He's good on your good days. He said the Lord is good. He didn't say the Lord is good if the stock market is up. He said the Lord is good. So if the Lord is good, we always have something to be thankful for. Always. The Lord is good. That's why I believe Psalms like this is why David, God said about David, he's a man after my own heart. This is my kid here. The Lord, you know, all this stuff, get your attitude right before you come to God and shout joyfully and thank Him and give thanksgiving and praise. And I think that's why he had such a high recommendation from God. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. There's enough to thank God for every day right there. Every day. Here's a myth. Let me give you a myth about being thankful. Myth about being thankful. If I had more stuff, I would be more thankful. How many knows that's a myth? Because how many got more stuff and you still weren't more thankful? You weren't more happy. If I had more stuff, I would be more happy. How many knows that's a myth? If that wasn't a myth, all the rich people would be happy instead of a lot of them committing suicide. So stuff don't make you happy. And being happy doesn't make you thankful. How many knows we need to turn it around, put the cart before the horse and say, today I get up and I say, thank you, Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. I will make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, I will come before His presence with saints. I will know today He is Lord, my shepherd. You know, and be thankful for it. I got thinking about Jesus. And I thought, what did He thank God for? You know what He thanked God for? Sometimes He would thank God, He'd say, Lord, I thank you that you heard me. You ever thank God for hearing your prayer? That's what Jesus, that's what He, you know, you look in the Bible, thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. And sometimes He thanked Him for hearing His, when He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, remember that? He said, Lord, I thank you that you've heard me. So these people will know who I am. Sometimes we just need to thank God for other people and what He's doing for them. It's been a while since Since I just said, you know, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing through somebody, and this one and that one, thank you. You know, just giving God thanks for somebody else's talent, somebody else's gift, somebody else's place. Some, you know, I appreciate them, but to just thank God for them and what they're doing, thank you, Lord, for using them. That's kind of where Jesus went with this thank you list, which is pretty interesting. Now, let me give you a scripture in 1 Timothy 6:6. Because sometimes we just need to see that, you know what, the myth is, you won't be more thankful if you have more stuff. You just won't be. In fact, the key is to learn how to be thankful right where you are. That's the power of thank you. Is to say, right where I am, thank you. In fact, here's something I believe Jesus taught us. Whenever he raised Lazarus from the dead, he was thanking God before it happened. So here's a powerful truth and principle we can use. If you're wanting something to happen, thank God for it before it happens. Are you with me? Thank God before it happens. You know, write it down. Here's your prayer request. Here's your prayer. Remember a few weeks ago I was teaching about prayer and writing it down and something to God and hold it up before God and see what God would... Well, thank Him before it ever takes place. That's what He did before He raised the dead. He gave a thank you that this is about to take place so they'll know who I am. I thank you in advance. I do that quite a bit. I thank you in advance, Holy Spirit, for giving us a great service today. See, that builds my expectancy level. It builds my confidence that God is at work. The Holy Spirit's going ahead of us. And you can use that in any situation. You got a situation where it's going to be kind of tense. You're having to approach somebody. You're having to deal with an issue. Saying, thank you, God, for going before me. I did that the other night in our homeowners meeting. I knew there'd be some tension there. It's been out of order for a long time. And so I just begin to thank Him for order and thank Him the enemy is bound and we had a great homeowners meeting and we're getting ready to have another one and I just been thanking Him and He's been feeding me stuff to tell the people before we ever get there. But you got to thank Him right where you are instead of stressing right where you are. Big difference. Makes a big difference. Now, when it comes to material, I want to show you something from the Word. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, whatever you have with contentment is great gain. I picked up Paul the other day and we went to Miss Alice's house and we hadn't seen her house. And I thought, they've been friends since they were like teenage kids. And I thought, that'd be cool to go pick him up. And so I picked him up. We went and took Miss Alice to lunch and she's just so appreciative and all. But on the way back, Paul was telling me, he said, remember that message you preached about praying over stuff and writing it down? I said, yeah. He said, well, I told one of his friends about that, and he said, he kind of laughed, and he said, because, he said, I've got a guy that told me, was it like $3-something? Is that what it was, Paul? $300-something for 5 or 6 years. Said, I hadn't even heard him know where he's at. And Paul said, well, you ought to pray about it. And he said, he just kind of laughed it off. A few days later, the guy got a check from that guy in the mail. And I said, what did he say? He said, well, he didn't say much. But I thought, you know, Paul planted a good seed, didn't he, in somebody's life to say, you know what? What are you asking for? Are you just complaining? Are you thanking God and asking God? Big difference, isn't there? What are you doing about a situation right now? Let me ask you this on your daily basis. Here's another thing you can do. On our daily basis, write out a list on today. You know, we're talking about at the end of the day. Was I thankful for more things or did I complain about more things? How did the scale go? You know, which one did I do more today? And then just do that for about a week and see which one outweighs the other. Did I complain about more stuff or was I thankful for more stuff today? And see how the scales tip. We might be surprised to just audit our lives, our daily walk before the Lord. Huh? How many griped about the daylight savings time today, Shane? Just one? Not me. All the rest of us appreciate the extra hour, didn't we? Yeah. I really did. I appreciated the extra hour. How many griped when it changes back? More. Okay. Does it cheat you out of an hour? See, I like both, so I'm like, you know. Now, Jana's along with you all that just raised your hand. but changing it again. You know, she just hates change. How many just hates change? You're like Miss Janet, just hate change. You're just like Janet, aren't you? A little bit compliant, you hate change. That's the way Janet is. You make a good wife. God will give you somebody that just needs all that structure and stuff. You know what Janet calls it with me? She says, like with this motorcycle, she says, Jack's next adventure, you know, because she likes compliance, she likes stability and routine and all that stuff. So he'll put you with somebody. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And then he teaches us something from the scripture. Watch this in verse 7. For we brought what into the world? So everything you have, thank you, Lord. You didn't bring it with you. Your mom and daddy may have gave it to you, but you didn't bring it. You brought nothing. Here's what you brought into the world. Poop and cry. Poop and cry, baby. That's all you brought into the world. Helpless, you couldn't do anything for yourself. And God brought you to today. Thank you, Lord. I mean, citizen, that's a miracle. What can it do? It can poop and cry. That's all it can do. And you love it? Yeah. Why? I don't know. God gave it to me. I love it. And that's all it does is poop and cry. Yeah, that's all it does. And you thank God for that? Yep, I thank God for it. And then it gets bigger and it does a lot more than poop and cry. And you think, oh, God. That's another message, isn't it? We brought nothing into this world. It is certain. Do you hear him? It is certain we will carry what out? Nothing. Everything you have anyway is on loan. You don't own it. You're not carrying it out. So just if he gives you something to enjoy while you're here, say, thank you, Lord. You're not taking it with you. You didn't bring anything in. You're not taking anything out. So whatever we got is a blessing. And then he says this. Here's a simple procedure. Having food and clothing. Everybody got food and clothes? If you need anything, see Donnie Cobalt after church. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be what? Content. Thank you, Lord. I got food, I got clothing. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and snare into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now, money's not, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, woman of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness. Here's what's going to bring you a grateful attitude. If we pursue the right things in life. You want to have a thankful attitude? He said, don't pursue. Now, it's not wrong to have things. You know, enjoy things. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. But when it comes, our pursuit is when it gets us. And he said, our daily pursuit should be different than what we're just, you know, doing for a living or enjoying toys or whatever it is. He said, flee these things and pursue righteousness. Is this right? Is this godly? Godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. So he gives us a pursuit list. You know, and here's another test. Are you pursuing all these on a consistent basis? Is it the eyes of entitlement that you're looking through, or is it the eyes of gratitude? Big difference, isn't there? Big difference. Huge difference. Maybe your old clunker you're driving. I want to challenge you. If you need a new car, be thankful for the one you have. If you need a better place to live, start thanking God for the place you have. You know, and watch God begin to work in your life. I went to Brahms Wednesday night with my grandsons. That's our ritual after church, and so we went to Brahms. Entitlement is we catch that early, don't we? I mean, we catch that. Does your kids feel entitled? you know, your grandkids feel entitled. We catch that early. It's not a, it's caught and it's taught some. But we were standing in the lines at Brahms, and all of a sudden, there's a pretty good sized family there, 5, 6, 7 people, and they're ordering big stuff like banana split. So it's taken quite a while already. And then they had another family guy come in, and it's real loud, and you can tell he's got some mental challenges, you know, just his demeanor. And all of a sudden, he's trying to tell them what he wants, and so he cuts in front of line in front of us, and it goes over to the thing, and he's trying to tell them because he can't even mentally know what that ice cream is. And so he's, but he's real loud, and my grandsons picked up on that he cut in line in front of us. They're like, and then guess where their eyes went next? Right here. He cut. I said, it's okay. He's within. It's okay. I thought, that's entitlement, isn't it? You know? We were here first. Thank you, Jesus. And so I thought, man. And I said, it's okay. You know, it's okay. And so the family picked up on it. They start apologizing. Over a guy that's mentally handicapped, and they're we're so sorry, and then it got so bad, and that's all they said. They just whispered that to me, and I don't think they heard it, but I said it's okay, but even the people themselves, they start apologizing for this, their loved one coming in line, you know. And that's, I thought, that's where we've come to, isn't it? And I think a lot of it has to do, we don't have a thankful heart. We don't have compassion, and we're not thankful for what we have, and how blessed we are to be even standing somewhere having a treat after church, that we can afford to do that. And then it got so bad, even the guy that was mentally challenged said, I'm sorry, I better get out of here, I don't like these people mad. And got out of line and walked off. Oh, wow. It shows me that we're lacking as a society about being thankful and really valuing what God values. Family and all the stuff, when we get so petty over a line or a... And I think this Thanksgiving, this month of Thanksgiving, we need to stop and say, you know what? I just need to be a little more grateful. Right where I am. One of the most powerful things you can do at Thanksgiving, I believe, is just tell people why you're, like we did a while ago, about what you appreciate about them, and say, thank you for being this. My little sister came up and said, thank you for being my brother. That was cool. Because we got family that don't thank me at all. No. I said, well, thank you for being my sister. You know? Just taking the time to say what really matters. Because he said, you know what, we get all caught up, America, in following these things, and we better be careful where it leads. And we pursue the wrong things, and all of a sudden we're an ungrateful people that's caught up in me and what I want, mine, what I don't have, what I'm not. And all I'm saying today in a simple way is just saying this. Let's get back to saying thank you. Let's just get up and examine everything through the eyes of gratitude. Let's change the lens and say, you know what? Today, I'm going to be grateful. Wasn't yesterday a beautiful day? 70-something degrees, not any wind in November. They said 80 today. Thank you, Lord. And then there's another group that says, global warming! And I say, thank you, Lord, for 80 in November. I'm just saying, this is a society in which we live. You can thank God for the beautiful day, or you can worry about what might be, or what's created this beautiful day, and we can be thankful. I don't know what struggles you're having, I don't know where you are, but I know right now it'll help you if you'll just stop and say, thank you, Lord. This morning, Miss Ray, when she prayed in our prayer meeting, she said, thank you for suffering. I thought, what? What? Thank you for suffering. She said, because of what it teaches us and where it brings us back to. That's a mature prayer. That's a prayer that's been through the fire, been tried, and knows what brings the fruit of the Spirit. Huh? I read, when I was preparing this message, I read where David appointed, it's in 1 Chronicles 16, if you want to read it, I'm not going to read it, but he appointed people to give thanks to the Lord. That was their job. Just, I think we need to do that with our prayer partners. Who's the most thankful person in here? You just love to thank God and you just... Oh, you're humble too, are you? Who raised your hand? Did you two? Y'all want to be our Thanksgiving choir? Okay, let's do this. Once a month, one of you will get up and you will just read a scripture of Thanksgiving and keep that before our congregation. Would that be okay? Now, you have to remember because I'm old and I'll forget. But you, where's Adam? See Adam right here? You just let Adam know, today I'm reading the Thanksgiving scripture. And we don't want no preaching. I know both of you can preach and act and all that stuff. We just want you to get up and say, today I'm blowing the trumpet of Thanksgiving. That's what they... Thank you very much. That was kind of the... She's got the gift of interpretation too. Yeah. I'm talking to you and to Miss Noah. So you and Ray, you're going to be our Thanksgiving trumpeters. We'll work on it and we'll get with Adam. But that's what he did. He appointed people to get up and lead the praise. And I want it to be a celebration. Just a celebration praise. To get up and when you sit down, you just read that prayer. Let us come before His presence with faith. You know it is, and you're just going to blow the trumpet sort of in praise, okay? So everybody pray for Ray and Dorothy. Nehemiah, I was reading Nehemiah. You know what Nehemiah did? Remember, he had such a struggle. He cried, he prayed, he fasted. His hometown was in shambles. He prays and he goes before the king and takes a risk. But they finally get the backing of the king. They get the resources they need to go and restore his hometown. And then all of a sudden, the enemy comes and Sanballat and his little dweebs and they try to destroy everything that he's done. But when they got through, and listen, church, let me tell you something. When you get through, don't forget to celebrate and thank God. He appointed choirs. In fact, he said, I want this. What did I do? I took my notes here. I want you, when they finished, he said, I want this. I want a huge celebration. I want Thanksgiving prayers. I want Thanksgiving psalms read. I want a Thanksgiving parade, and I want two Thanksgiving choirs. We'll meet on the wall, and they're going to go opposite directions and just thanking God for what's been accomplished. Yeah. Miss Jana's getting ready to graduate. Thank you, Lord. For you that don't live with her and don't know how it stresses her out, you would shout with me. But we're going to celebrate. We're going to say, thank you, Lord, for graduation. And she's already celebrating. She's just happy, you know, about it all. What's happening in your life right now that you can celebrate? Don't forget to say thank you and have a celebration for what God's done for you. How many knows you're still breathing in? You're still breathing out. Thank you, Lord. How many knows it's a lot better than the other alternative?
Yes, sir.
In and out. I'm breathing. Thank you, Lord. So, at the end of your day, you've accomplished another day. You're still here. We run around little tin canisters, you know, doing... Some of us do faster than others. But we're at risk every day, aren't we? Some people's loved ones won't come home today because of a car accident. If yours comes home, say, thank you, Jesus. And if they don't, say, thank you, Lord. I'll see them on the other side. Thank you for that assurance. See? Attitude of praise and thanksgiving. They came through a hard trial, but they didn't forget to celebrate and say thank you, Lord. Don't forget to celebrate and say thank you. This Thanksgiving, you have something to be thankful for. Don't forget to take your family and celebrate and say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for reminding us how powerful prayer is and how powerful it is when we come with thanksgiving, when we come with a gratitude and a heart of thanksgiving. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to put on a new lens today, and that's the lens of gratitude. And everything, as the media says, the world's crumbling around us, let us know that it's not. Because it's not going to crumble until you speak to the sun and it's made dark. You speak to your angels and you blow the trumpet, and they're going to come and they're going to pour out wrath, and they're going to wind this dispensation up. But until that time, you're in charge. And even during that time, all that know the name of Christ will go to the next phase of glory. And it'll be better than this phase, with no sin and no sorrow, no sickness, no suffering. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Today we put on the new lens of gratitude. Today we'll begin to consciously inject gratitude and a thankful heart into our day. Help us, Holy Spirit, to do that. And we know that we'll have a better and a more productive life, and we will attract and we will influence people to be more thankful. And I believe that's our part, Lord, in the kingdom. And while Christians are praying and heads are bowed, if you're here today and you need Christ, maybe, you know, you said, you know what, Pastor, my situation has just got so bad. I haven't thanked God, and my relationship is lacking with the Lord. And or maybe you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. But if you're here today and you need Christ to come in and say, I need God today, I need Him to be my Lord and Savior, so I can be what you preach today. And while Christians are praying, I'd like for you to repeat this simple prayer with me and invite Him in to come and be Lord of your life. Just say this. You can do it out loud, or you can do it to yourself and to Christ. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus,